There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
They can end up everywhere. We have beavers out in West Mobile, all the way down to the river.
You know what I hate is that this beaver issue couldn't be separated by I-65. Like when Councilman Fred Richardson used to make every problem in our city, well, those people west of 65 or those people east of 65, therefore you could make some kind of argument that the beavers were affecting one group more than the other, but that actually doesn't happen with this story. Hey, welcome. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106 for a call or a text. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use the TalkBack feature as well. If you don't have the app, it's easy to get over at the App Store if you're iOS, or go to Google Play if you're Android, and just look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5, because I don't know, it messes something up. I don't know, just FM Talk 1065. See our logo, that's the app, download it. Of course, you can stream the station there. It's the first place, our podcast post, right there to the app. I wish there was some Machiavellian way that I set it up that way. It's not, just how it happens. That's the first place they go. Plus our social media feeds with breaking news all in one place. Show schedules, all that kind of good stuff there, plus a way to text straight from the app, call straight from the app, and leave us a talkback message where you see that microphone icon on the front page. All right, so beavers in the news. Also, this hour, the announcement coming out this morning, former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine formally announced his bid to become Mobile's next mayor. So he is in the mix as well. Now we have Connie Hudson, Barbara Drummond, Jermaine Burrell, Lawrence Batiste, Spiro Chirigatis, Stephen Nodine, and Paul Prine. Paul Prine will be on the show with us tomorrow at 1 o'clock to talk about his announcement, and we can talk about that with you this hour. But yes, to the beaver story that I know dominated a lot of the interest in our fair city here, and I haven't seen, I was looking over on Twitter, which is working today, and let's see, I can't believe my friend John Sharp, who's reporting other things that happened at today's city council meeting, is not reported on the beaver contract. If anybody knows whether they signed off on the beaver contract, please let me know what happened there. But we can talk about it. As the WKRG story says, Mobile City Council today would be voting on the beaver removal contract. Commentary here from Mobile Interim Public Services Director Matt Anderson. You heard a little bit there. He talked more about the first of all, yes, beavers everywhere. Let's go back to beavers everywhere and go.
They can end up everywhere. We have beavers out in West Mobile, all the way down to the river.
Okay, so there you go. So you got beavers everywhere, all these different places. In addition, let's see what. Then he started talking about the possible damage done by beavers, the structural damage of the beavers. Let's go to cut two here.
Water saturates the roadbed. It can cause structural deficiencies where you would see cave-ins or you would see issues like that.
Okay. So that's some of the beaver conversation from the story from WKRG. Says here the city council will be voting on hiring Wayland Wildlife Services for a contract costing $13,100 to monitor 23 different locations. Well, all right. That's the story. This morning, I heard so many comments I wanted to comment on. I wanted to be part of Mobile Mornings. It's been some years since I was, but as people said that this group is getting rich, it's going to get rich off this $13,100 a year contract. to trap beavers in Mobile? Well, first of all, where do I even begin with this? First of all, there's one group of people who have a misunderstanding of how beavers are being trapped. People are saying, well, you can, once you trap them, you can go release them elsewhere. I think I saw that in a Facebook post. I don't know that anybody's catching beavers in live catch traps. Okay. And let me point out something, too. As one of the texters this morning was saying, they're making all this money. So they're probably running a trap. And, of course, as one of the very few good old boy talk show hosts in the United States of America, I have my certain place here. So they're probably running a trap called a 330 Conibear. It's been only legal to set underwater in the state of Alabama. It is one, so as somebody who traps, I'll set foothold traps while I'm talking to you, chewing gum, listening to my favorite song. I'll set what we call DP or dog-proof raccoon traps. I'll let kids set them. When you set a 330 Conibear, remember in MacGyver, if you ever saw, and I got a young man in the studio who probably doesn't know MacGyver, it was a TV show, and MacGyver in this TV show, Bryce had always had to, seemingly no matter what scenario came up, at the end of it he had to defuse a bomb. And he had to, and he had like the wrapper from some Wrigley's gum, a piece of yarn, but he had to defuse like, oh, it's a nuclear bomb that's going off in 27 seconds, and he reaches in his pocket, finds stuff to defuse the bomb. But he'd be sweating during this, defusing the bomb. When you set a 330 Conibear trap, I want nobody talking to me. I want no distractions. I want to be, have slept at least 8 hours the night before. These babies are serious. So the idea when I saw the post on Facebook, after they trap them, they can go turn them back. No. After they trap them with a 330 Conibear, it's a very humane trap because it's over, lights out right away for that beaver. But they are a extremely strong trap, and they are a MacGyver episode to set as well. I run them. But they run about 100 and, gosh, I've been buying them over the years. But if you buy one now, you're looking at $120 to $140 per trap, to run a Conibear trap. So if this contract is, once again, let me go back to the story from whatever breathless reporter here. So $13,000 a year. So first of all, I don't know how many different, okay, 23 different locations. And got any math magicians in the audience here? I could go to, let's see, can I find the calculator in amongst my 26 tabs I keep open on the computer here in front of me? All right, so 23 locations. Let's say they get a volume discount. They're not buying them one at a time. Say they get them for 120. All right, so there we go. I was a communications major. It takes me a little bit of time. $2,760 in traps, in 330 Conibears, if they're running those, which I'm pretty sure they are. So already there's the cost. And then I saw the text from people saying, well, they're making money. They're making money with these beavers they trap. Do you know what you would get for a southern beaver pelt? It ain't much. Okay. And I was sending pictures in this morning. So as a guy who traps them, also skins them, tans the hides. They're very awesome. They make great gifts. I'll give them to folks as gifts and all that. You're not cashing in with them. And then I think it was Joel or somebody this morning who said, well, they're selling the beaver meat. No, they're not. They're not. So where are they exactly selling the beaver meat? And beaver is one of those weird things. Mostly in the North American wildlife model, you can't sell any critter that's a game animal. Coyotes and beavers, and some have some exceptions out there. So you can sell pelts. And with certain licenses, you sell bobcat pelt, and you sell coyote pelts and beaver pelts. There's no market for the meat. Now, I've eaten beaver meat, and you put it in a slow cooker. It can be really, really good. Cook it down and put a barbecue sauce on it. The early voyageurs, the mountain men, preferred the tail of the beaver because they were so fat-deprived. They're just eating lean wild meat, so they'd eat the tail. I've eaten a little bit of the tail of a beaver. I don't like it. But the actual muscle, yeah, it's pretty good. But there's no, I'm sorry to ruin the people say, wow, they're getting rich off this. They're selling the pelts. Lord knows, if there was a pelt market like there was back in the day, I probably wouldn't be doing this for a living. I would have continued at my dream when I was 12 years old to be a mountain man and be trapping beavers and selling, going to the rendezvous each year and selling hides. It doesn't exist. It is work. As somebody who does this, this is work. So I hate to ruin the narrative that popped up there. I don't know these people. I don't know this specific group, Wayland Wildlife Services, but Wayland Wildlife Services is, they're not banking the big money here at a $13,000 a year contract to trap beavers. Goes on further in the story, said, as beavers build dams in Mobile that have running water, it increases the likelihood of flooding creeks, culverts, streams when it rains. That is true. I saw somewhere also, this is what I get for looking at some Facebook posts. Somebody said, well, turn them out in the Delta. Okay, well, the beavers don't live in the Delta. I know, that's shocking, right? Nutria do. Beavers need running water to make a living. Not saying there's never been a beaver swimming across from point A to point B. Now, in the uplands surrounding the Delta, different story. But without running water, beavers aren't, you know, if you take them to the Delta and turn them loose in some kind of imaginary live catch trap that they have for beavers, they will, if they don't get eaten by an alligator or something, they're going to swim out and go somewhere that has running water and do what beavers do. I'm fascinated. They're really cool critters. Goes on the story too. So for this contract, they typically catch 300 to 400 beavers annually in Mobile. So if I could get my calculator back up, we can figure out what the cost per beaver is on this. So the city contracted with Wildlife Solutions Incorporated for this purpose in the early 2000s. Now, these are some folks I know. I know this group. I don't know the other group, but I know the folks from Wildlife Solutions that probably would tell you the very similar things I'm telling you about that. Some commentary from them on this as well.
So the more water they have, the safer they feel. They're the only other animal besides human that it basically builds the environment around them to their liking.
Michael's probably got a big head now that he's on the TV news talking about this. But yes, so the beaver thing, and we'll get to the text here, and there's a lot of them here, and I think I can read most of these without losing my license here. I'm going to try to. I tell you what, got folks holding on the phone. Beaver talk on the phone when we come back. Beaver talk on the text line when we come back. Somebody please let me know, did the city finish the contract? I'm really interested also if the beavers are being live trapped and relocated to the Delta and how that's working out as well. All right. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, did I mention Boat Show Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I did? Well, let me mention again. Yeah, we'll be out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Mobile Boat Show for the Guides Corner. We got folks like Captain Wayne Miller, Captain Charlie Gray, Captain Kurt Tillman, Captain Bobby Abrascato. Inshore, offshore, freshwater, all covered. So stop on by and visit with us. Mike Ward and I will be there, and the rest of the crew from FM Talk 106.5, plus a chance to win an EPIRB. We're going to talk to a man yesterday whose life was saved by an EPIRB. We'll talk to him on Thursday's show. That's right, on Thursday's show. He's going to join us. Easton Barrett's going to join us. He's one of those people who, if you remember the big social media, went out to TikTok and then got picked up several places with some folks out off Petty Boy that had their boat sink and survived holding on to coolers and using an EPIRB. He's going to talk to us about his life being saved. Plus, we are giving one away at the Mobile Boat Show. Plus, all kind of cool stuff like the FM Talk 106.5 buckets and all those good things. All right, I'm going to try to get through a lot of the beaver text here and trying to do this without getting myself in trouble. Let's see. Houndstooth says, I'm telling you, I told the guys this morning that beavers talked to Dan's attack owls and they went in on the 106.5 Mobile Unit of the Year. So yeah, I'm sure, Houndstooth, that they will make it into one of our categories for Mobile Unit of the Year. That's that thing we do at the end of each year. Something I completely ripped off from Times Person of the Year. We just do Alabamian of the Year each year. Matt says, hey, Sean, those damn beavers will get you every time. That's right. All the beaver jokes here. Listen, there's several here. I just want to, is something I'm missing? Greg, Maximus, others have talked about the beavers in Tillman's Corner that could get you in trouble. I don't know what you're all talking about. I have no idea what you mean. Sean says, better name for an adult fun establishment, the beaver trap or the... listen, I can't read all these now. It's not a family show, but it's, you know. And then somebody just in the middle of that texted in, you can get drunk in Mobile, but you can't smoke weed, hypocrites. Weed hypocrites, or you can't smoke weed, comma, hypocrites. Trying to figure out that one. You know, it's what, and texture what I said to the sheriff is, it's the on the road thing that bothers me more than anything. Because if the person's blowing weed smoke out of their vehicle, they're showing me that they're impaired driver. Same way, if you pull up and you're hanging that extended cab Coors Light 24 ounce out and hanging out the window there, what do you expect the deputy or officer to do? I would hopefully have them pull you over. Tim said, I saw a guy trapping beavers on the creek at Grelot and Schillinger. Jerry in Fort Morgan said, if you know about a 330, you know. You're correct, Jerry. I do know. Adam said, let's see. Is this, that was from earlier last hour. Okay, sorry. It said, Sean, I was reading the Lanyap about the campaign donations for the mayoral race. The one thing that I saw that was intriguing is Jermaine Burrell has received 31 donations and 19, 61% came from out of state. I'll have to look at that. As I told you, there are going to be a lot of candidates and a lot of money spent in this race. Told y'all way back in October. Not like I'm some soothsayer. It's pretty obvious, but let's see. Adam also says, Sean, I know nothing about the contract, but we had a problem with beavers on our farm in Baldwin County. Hired Waylon, really good guy, and did a great job of trapping him, and his price was very reasonable. That's what I'm saying. For to hear all the people comment on this, and I saw on social media with no idea, and then to hear people this morning saying, they're getting rich with this beaver contract. Come on. Come on. This is a... And the fact that he was going to be making big money off selling the beaver meat, which is not bad. Seriously, slow cook it with the barbecue sauce is pretty darn good. I want to be able to say I like the tail, like my heroes. I could be like Jim Bridger. I don't, though. Let's see. I can't read that, T-Bone. Billy D says, Billy D said, you know, there are a lot of these coming in. Okay. Said, hey, Sean, it's Billy D. Yeah, I know a bunch of migratory birds would be very disappointed if those beaver dams kind of got taken away. You know, they've been doing that for a little bit longer than we've been around. Absolutely. Here's the thing, Billy D. When we're talking about city infrastructure, I'm with you. I'm with the city. You got to get it cleared out. I mean, you've seen what it does to culverts and all that. But generally on the landscape, and I grew up, I'm the first generation off the farm. My people would hated a beaver. I mean, if you're growing trees or wanting to keep a pasture dry, they hated beavers. I get it. But there's a lot of benefit that comes from beaver ponds out there. And Billy D said, yeah, also, yeah, I mean, I don't know what USDA stamp you put on a beaver if you do or could. You know, once again, they're not making money doing this. It's just cracking me up. Joe says $13,000 is cheap. Beavers have been costing men houses, cars, and boats for years. Easy, Joe. Dalton and Dan may want one, or at least be offered one, a beaver pelt. I think maybe we'll put one, and I skin them in the round. I'm not good enough to sleeve them, but I skin them in the round like they did in the old days, so they're a big circle. We could put one in the studio. Maybe we'll put that. We got a podcast room in the back here. I put some of my accoutrements, and I have a map obsession. I love old maps, so I got those all through the radio station. Maybe back there in the podcast room where people come in to do a podcast, I'll have the skin in the round beaver hide. Uncle Jake says, I hunt in the Mississippi Delta. Beavers make my kayak trip much easier to access. Hope they never remove them from Yazoo County. Yeah, there's they worked them over there pretty good, Uncle Jake. So if you're Yazoo County, spent a lot of time to your north there, onward, Cary, Rolling Fork, up through Sharkey and Issaquena County. There's a lot of beaver activity there as well. Vince says, can you imagine what it would cost the county or city to trap beavers? I can picture it now. 12 guys watching one guy set a trap and check back every day, but never catch a single beaver. Exactly. Vince, this is the time to outsource, right? I don't know the people with this group. I have no contact, don't know. But for the people thinking that the city of Mobile is getting ripped off with that kind of contract, you're ignorant, which is ignorant. But for ignorant people, like My cousins used to say, you ignorant. All right, this, I have to navigate. I'm going to have to go through more of these beaver texts till I can find one that I can read out loud, but I'll do that right after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We get to a very busy text line at 343-0106 in just a second. I do want to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. What's shaking, man?
Oh, not much, Sean. What about y'all?
Well, we don't have any of the Kubota inventory that you do. You were talking about RTVs, zero turns, perfect this time of year, and you've got 0% financing going on your Kubota equipment. I told y'all back in the summer when you told me y'all were going to this, I said, okay, well, this will last a month or two, you know, like a little kick it in the pants thing, get going. Y'all are still doing this.
We're still doing it. We're still doing it on all Kubota products and Land Pride. So that's tractors, skid steers, mini excavators, like you said, the RTVs, the zero turns, all that qualifies for that zero interest financing through Kubota right now.
Now, okay, that's going on, and if somebody wants to, I thought about this too. If they come in, because I know you'll have some great used inventory. Let's say somebody has a piece of equipment, a Kubota, or something, and are y'all doing working with them on trading in and getting into the next one?
We are. We're doing a lot of trade-ins right now. A lot of people want to upgrade to newer models or larger machines. So I do have a lot of trade-in, pre-owned equipment. It's a wide variety. It's construction equipment, tractors, RTVs, the zero-turn mowers, even some Toro equipment, some of the trenchers and mud buggies and stuff like we have in our rental department. Something else in our rental department, whenever it gets to a certain hour mark, we like to roll it out. So I do have a lot of the rental equipment. Some of it might not be ready yet, but we can probably work and roll it out a little sooner if you're interested in it.
Okay, so let's talk about that used inventory and also rental. This is the nice thing. All these pieces of equipment we talk about, if somebody says, man, I don't need that, you know, 3, 6, 12 months a year, or somebody says, I'm not sure that I need that, that's when this rental department also can come in and you can see if you really want that piece of equipment.
Right, especially on those specialty jobs that you're not going to use but once, maybe twice ever, it's a lot more affordable just to rent it. And like you said, if you're not, you know, you're really unsure if you need it or want it, come rent it for a weekend, a week, a day, whatever you need, we can work with you there.
Okay. Tell folks how to find you.
We're right here in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or Saturdays, 8 till noon. Give us a call at 251-947-4171, or you can visit our website and see that pre-owned inventory with pictures on our website at parrishtractor.com.
Thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, and thank you. I got the text in here. Let's see. They authorized, all right, so this is, I guess I'm just now talking about water over a broken dam. They've authorized the agreement with Wayland's Wildlife Services for nuisance beaver control at $13,100 per year, sponsored by Mayor Stimson. I guess that's who put this up. So, Brad, thank you. Brad has sent me the minutes from today's Mobile City Council meeting, so it's done. Now, does this mean I need to stop talking about the beaver stuff? I don't know, because a texter said, I admire your professionalism. That's something I don't hear very often. I admire your professionalism. I can't say beaver even once without giggling uncontrollably. Well, it's only through, it's only through decades and decades of working and striving, kind of like Rocky got himself in shape in the movie, for broadcast excellence, that I can say beaver and not crack. Not crack up. Now, Jason said, I didn't, yeah, I thought, said no references to the Big Beaver Lobby. I have not, but you just did. Although, then the next text up here, Maximus continues with this. It's been a theme with Maximus on the text line. Can we get Chuck McDowell, who you'll hear on the ads that run about your timeshare? Those aren't our ads. They come from the national news source. Says, can we get Chuck McDowell on Mobile Morning Show with Dan and Dalton? It would be great. I understand he is quite the topic in the office. He is. He is. Chuck McDowell is a comment about him a lot. If we could get, hey, Dalton, can you see if y'all get, if y'all don't get him booked, I'll book Chuck McDowell. We'll ask him if he's a lawyer. Let's see. Okay, so here we go. So Moz says, back in the day, I had a contract to trap beavers on the fishery station at Auburn. There was good money in beaver hides back then. Now the money is in beaver tail leather. A rifle sling is about $400 and wallet is $300. See, so the tail, so, and you know, when I do them in the round, Moz, I don't ever keep the tail. Maybe I'm missing out. All right, so we got a, okay, so talkback message here. We'll go to the, I say go to the phones, but we go to the talkback message. This is what you do when you go to the FM Talk 106.5 app. Hit the microphone icon, record a message, and it emails it to the station. This, oh, Ricky, all right, what's Ricky have to say?
Sean, what I meant was if I have to register my car, then that means I don't own it, okay? By definition, if I have to register my car and get a permission, a driver's license to drive it, then I don't own it. The government and the state owned it. So every time they make me get a driver's license, I need to get a check in the mail so I can pay for the car that they took away from me, okay? Mm-hmm. If before 1911...
Uh-oh, what happened?
Okay.
Oh, there he is.
And that's the way it should be today. We're being jacked, robbed, and our freedom took away from us, just like having to get a fishing license to get you something to eat, you know?
That's right. All right, so Ricky, so I hear you. Don't agree with you, but I hear you. And the fishing license thing, we could have a whole conversation of, you know what, Ricky? Both things, if you're on your own property, you don't have to have a fishing license. If the vehicle is on your property, you don't have to have it registered, you don't have to have a license. You can do keg stands and Jägermeister shots and drive around all you want. The difference is you're on a public roadway. That's the difference, Ricky. Do you think there shouldn't be any standard of knowing how to drive before somebody's driving on the road next to you or your children? You think? There just should be whatever the hell goes on, goes on. You can do that on private property. You can drive all you want. You can go to a rent time at a dirt track and get, unless they have their own rules or whatever, you can get, you know, get no license and ride around all you want. You can catch all the fish you want if it's not public water. Now, public water has to be maintained for the people of the state of Alabama. Should you have a right to take all the fish because you don't have to go to work? Both situations you talked about, I would agree with you if you're on private property. But in neither situation did you point out private property. You're talking about in public. So no, Ricky, you're wrong. But I appreciate the talkback message. All right. Let's see. All right. And Dalton, can you bring, I know you talked a little bit. It looks like I'm getting bits and pieces of this. I've been so buried in the local beaver removal contract that some big news is out there. Is that, yeah, Dalton coming in. I'm going to swing one of these mics to you. Dalton, pick a mic, any mic, but just one mic. You going to two?
I'm on two, yeah.
You're on two. There you go. So, we're far up two. So what did you just, Dalton comes walking by the door here and says, something pretty big news here.
Yeah. So, and of course, takes two sides to tango, or when you're dealing in international news like this, many, many sides to tango. But Ukraine has apparently agreed to a 30-day ceasefire. And
now, you US and Dan were talking about this morning, like they might do like a naval and aerial ceasefire. Is this a full ceasefire?
That was the talk. So here's here
do
it
we
is.
Get the mineral deal or what?
So, and I know Rubio just came out, and if I can get that audio cord right over there, that gray one, I don't know if yeah, there's any chance you can grab that for me.
Yes.
But we had Rubio talking here just a minute ago. It's fine. I'll pick it up later. The Trump administration said it would immediately lift a pause in intelligence sharing and military support to Ukraine as Kiev has agreed to implement a 30-day ceasefire. The plan, contingent on Russian acceptance, was outlined in a statement issued by the Ukraine and the U.S. The meeting today first high-level talks between the U.S. and Ukrainian officials since, of course, that Oval Office meeting that we all know so well from just the other day. Let me see if I can get this plugged in, because I've got some Rubio audio for you.
So this is Rubio reacting to this.
That's exactly right. Now, as far as whether it's just a naval and aerial ceasefire...
Wasn't that the discussion this morning y'all had?
That was the rumor, or I guess the sources were talking and saying that's what Zelensky was looking to do. Let me try to run this audio for you really quickly. This is Marco Rubio and National Security... Of course, he's Secretary of State. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz just about 15, 20 minutes ago discussing this in the Middle East.
Have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. I want to personally thank, we both want to thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Majesty, for hosting us, for making this possible. They've been instrumental in this process, and we're very grateful to them for hosting us here today. And you know, hopefully we'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, that they'll say yes to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one, above everything else. He wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate. Today we made
so
an
offer.
It's a ceasefire. Because they haven't agreed on what land or the
That's right.
And mineral deal. It's also not stop shooting.
Right. And it's not clear. You heard him say.
We've got to have Peskov and them sign off on this.
Right. And they're willing to take concrete steps. But he said, let's see here. In recent days, Ukrainian officials suggested an initial step toward peace could be a ceasefire on the air and naval attacks, like we were discussing this morning. Officials haven't said what specific steps the Ukrainians need to take for American military support to resume, but it suggested it would need to go beyond a ceasefire. So we're also not quite seeing yet whether this was the minerals deal in addition to...
I wish I had the Lindsey Graham audio right now. We need to get them minerals.
Trillions and trillions
of
dollars.
We need the minerals.
So I guess we're still waiting and seeing. Walt said we're getting there when they were breaking during the... Three hours into the meeting, they took a break, and he said, we're getting there. And they come out of the meeting, and that's what you get from Rubio. So I guess still a lot to flesh out, but it's definitely the farthest we've been.
It's positive, right? So, I mean, from the word go in this, I pointed out from the word go, I still defended the Ukrainians' right to defend themselves, but the idea that they could ever win this war was laughable. I mean, I think in the first week or two, I went back and walked you through the Battle of Stalingrad.
The Green Machine, right?
Yes, the Green Machine. They will continue to throw bodies into something till they win. I mean, they had the Nazis, you know, that had way better armed and trained men than them, and they whipped their butt at Stalingrad because they continue to throw people in the mix. There's no way to beat the Russians if you don't have more people than they do to put in the grinder. So the fact that there's something here that can stop the death, I think, is applaudable, even if it's not for some smaller period of time. I mean, I mean, we're looking at maybe by the time this is said and done, close to a million people, million casualties, maybe not dead, but casualties.
Yeah, and plenty of those, of course, are civilians, which so much of that discussion has turned to even more recently. A lot of people that weren't talking about civilian deaths 2 years ago, now very concerned about civilian deaths. But, I mean, any push towards some semblance of coming to a deal, right? And it's amazing.
So this has gotten done. Yeah. I mean, I know Trump said he was going to get this done day one, but it's just now March. Pretty good since Biden administration had a while that this didn't get done years.
And also, you know, you think of the other war that it's still on shaky legs, but in a bit of a ceasefire. I guess the ceasefire technically ran out last week, but Israel and Gaza was pretty much immediate. Now there's been bombs lobbed and all kinds of stuff going on since, but they're technically still saying they're in a ceasefire and trying to come to another deal. We're only a couple months in. Yeah. And it wasn't day one. It wasn't within 24 hours. But, I mean,
if there was really, and this is probably for a show tomorrow or down the road to talk about, but if there was really a way, if I thought this was a jump ball, okay, and I'm going to side, even with all the things that Ukrainians, they're corrupt, and all, I agree. They're just, so is Russia, right? If it was a jump ball, all sides even here, I'd be saying, okay, well, hold out a little, but it's not. It's Ukraine has gotten, there's no way for them to win this thing. So how do you walk away from this without having more people? I mean, you just want to go on another 10 years till there's nobody left to fight, and then Russia takes the entirety of Ukraine, and there's so many people dead that...
That's what, and there, you know, that's kind of what it looked like from day one, as you said. And then the tide started to turn, but of course that came with a whole heck of a lot of help, right?
Yes.
And a whole heck of a lot of dead Ukrainians. I mean, have you seen some of these conscription videos here recently?
Yes, where they're forcibly grabbing the people. And
I don't want to sound dramatic because that's war. And I've heard you talk about family members and stuff back in the day, Civil War. And that's what happens.
My family member was sold. Yeah, he was traded for money, so he fought. So
I understand that's the way it is, but that's the way it is. And there's people that are acting like it's not. Yeah. Right. And so,
like I said, if I was like, man, you give the Ukrainians a couple more years and they're going to kick the Russians out. And heck, they may, you know, make a big move and set a new line up into Russia. I'd sound like Boris Johnson, but they never have had a chance to do that.
I don't think so. Here's just one more line. So this is from a different report. This one from the Reuters. All right. From Reuters. It says they agreed to conclude as soon as possible a comprehensive agreement for developing Ukraine's critical mineral resources. Part of that joint statement, Ukraine expressed readiness to accept the U.S. proposal to enact an immediate interim 30-day ceasefire, which can be extended by mutual agreement of the parties. Obviously, that's the big thing here. Subject to acceptance and concurrent implementation of the Russian Federation, or by the Russian Federation, the U.S. will communicate to Russia that Russian reciprocity is the key to achieving peace. You also have the news that Witkoff's traveling to Moscow to meet with Putin here. No date that I've seen recently, but that's the next step.
Okay, and hopefully maybe at the same time in Russia, there's a bunch of families going, hey, no more of our people going to die in this war either.
You can only hope.
Put some pressure up there. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Heads up, too. This weather outside may make you think about getting outside more. I like to be outside all the time. But for some people, daylight saving time, a little warmer temps. Maybe it's time to get out on the bicycle. I told you what 2 years ago I did that got me riding bicycles now in my 50s. I really hadn't ridden a bicycle since my 20s. Rode them at school a little bit. And early on, it's pretty interesting, rode them some public lands we'd hunt. You couldn't use vehicles in. Or at a certain point, there's people know what I'm talking about. The gates would close because the water was too high, but we carried bicycles in. Well, that was my 20s, and then I really didn't ride a bike for 20-something years. Then my man, Clint Jameson, he and I have known each other a long time. He said, man, you need to check out these electric bikes I got going on. So I went down the shop, and he had a big selection of electric bikes back then, but nothing like now. He has over 75 in stock at any time, a bunch of different configurations. So there's electric bikes, if you're like me, mine's got the wider tires, the suspension for riding off-road. Mostly in dirt roads and gravel and sand, those kind of things. It's a great way to ride. But they make electric bikes if you never get off concrete. They got an electric bike for you. Or if you want something kind of a hybrid, they've got an electric bike for you. I talk to folks, people use them different ways. I talk to people a lot that have campers, RVs. They like to take the e-bike with them to wherever they're going. And then they can use that e-bike to go get groceries because they have all these... like anything good's got accessories. They got panniers that go on them and baskets and stuff to put groceries and things to be able to go run errands, go out to eat. Maybe you're at a place where there's a big sporting event going on and you got to park, wherever the RV is. How are you going to get close to the sporting event? Well, you go on that e-bike and you can get there and then lock it up and go in and check out the sporting event. So many ways to use these e-bikes. Like I said, 75 plus in stock at any time at Adventure Earth Bicycles Plus. As my man Clint calls them, he's got 400-plus Amish bikes. Those are the non-electric. They're all waiting for you to check them out right now. And he's got spring sale going on, so you really need to check them out online. But the most fun is in person. Online, adventure-earth.com. But in person, go see them. They're right at the corner of Little Flower and Airport, kind of across from Bruce Chris. You go in there, check out the bicycles, check out the e-bikes, the non-e-bikes, the accessories, and see what got me back into bicycling here in my 50s. I think you're going to love it. I hear from folks, I'd say weekly. Yeah, probably that is honest. Weekly, they go, hey, I got an e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, and I love it. So y'all go do the same. All right, let's do this. Let's go. We have time to go. We can squeeze in one more phone call here. Let's go to Tim in Fairhope. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, man.
Quick question. You were talking about the corruption there in Ukraine and all that, and I was wondering, when we write a check, let's just say $100 million to whomever over there, who writes the check? Who is accountable for the check? Like, you know, where does the money actually go to supply what front, what ammunition, you know, what department? I mean, are we keeping track of that? Because you hear all the time about us just giving money. And now we're hearing all this Doge stuff about how we're trying to, you know, follow receipts and trails and stuff. So I've always wondered when they say, well, we gave this much money, who is in charge, in your opinion, of keeping up with that money?
Well,
and real quick, once that's done, if we get the money back, we're able to save that money, what do you think about giving every retiree, when they retire, $100,000 just to put in their account when you retire, and then give you that little...
All that's going to do, Tim, that's going to go straight to the casino. That's going to go straight to the casinos. I don't want to encourage the old people.
It comes back around. But it wouldn't be everybody, but it would be just as you retire, you're automatically given that. I'm talking about with all the money we saved.
So instead of the Doge dividend, okay, you got me thinking. So a retirement check, a $100,000 one-time check. And what you were saying about where does the money go, listen, we've got a Pentagon that goes, I don't know, we had $2 billion missing. I don't know where it went. A lot of what has happened here with what we've given Ukraine is this is how the hustle works, right? We take military equipment we already have, give it to Ukraine. Therefore, we, the taxpayers, have to buy more military equipment to fill back in what we've given Ukraine. And then also, we just cut them big checks on top of that as well. So it's a mix of things. Who's responsible? I'm sure it would be somebody with the Pentagon that actually maybe sees where the check goes. But of course, the go-ahead comes through the legislature. They hold the purse strings, right? They vote these appropriations, and then who actually signs the check? Great question. I don't have an answer to it, but I will hopefully by tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow. And remember, Friday, we are live at the Mobile Boat Show for Midday Mobile, and we'll be there all weekend long for the Guide's Corner.